people to make Bible study, or they make making Bible study hard. Amen. Amen. So we're not going to prolong anything. We're going to go ahead and get into it. I see that you've got your papers. That's awesome. So tonight I want to speak about God's assurance. God's assurance. My wife set me up for failure. God's assurance. And in a world, and I hold on, I'm going to say this real quickly, so I want you to be focused, because you've got papers. These notes that you fill in are not just so that you have busy work at churches, so that when you go home and you begin to get in your head, you begin to get crazy in your head, you can look at your paperwork, these things. I promise you, if you do more than just write stuff down, set it home, set it somewhere at your house when you get home, don't look at it anymore. It's never going to bless you. It's never going to bless you. You're never going to apply it to your life. But it is that when you begin to apply these principles to your life, that your life will begin to change. You can come to church, Bible study, you can sing in a choir, you can do everything that the pastor and God puts on your heart to do. But if you do not apply what it is that we teach, you will always be where you are. Amen? So tonight we're going to talk about God's assurance. And in a world, we are accustomed in the world to having insurance. But those that are in the Spirit, we are or should be accustomed to having God's assurance. As the popular phrase Christians used to call it, that blessed assurance. The word assurance is defined as confident in your own abilities. Confident in your own abilities. You want to watch your worksheets, because some of these questions are on there. The word assurance is defined as confident in your own abilities. But since we are taught to not put any confidence in our flesh, I decided to fix the definition for us saved folk. Is that all right? And so from now on, when we speak of assurance, God's assurance, it means confidence in God's abilities. Confidence in God's abilities. And I didn't put this in my study, but, you know, it was something that the Lord was nudging me to do, and so I probably should have done it. But, you know, the Bible says to lean not on your own understanding. And I think that we get this thing twisted with God, because we feel like there's some things that happens in our life that I don't need to pray for that. 2 + 2 = 4. Who needs to pray for that? But the problem is, he says, in every way acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. So you might know what you know, but the problem is you don't know what he knows. So one of the biggest, you know, things that I see happen, especially in this church, is people are always trying to handle things themselves. They're always trying to handle things without the scriptures. How many of you, tell the truth and shame the devil, how many of you have had at least 3 problems in the last 6 months? 3 problems, just 3 problems. And keep your hands up too. And how many of you has had at least 3 problems in the last 6 months, put scripture on it? Isn't that amazing? But how many of us are believers? But the word says that in all of our ways, acknowledge him. It says to cast all our cares on him. So I want you to understand something. So you say, well, that ain't really sin. Yes, it is. It's a disobedience. Not casting your cares upon God, no matter how big or small they are, is disobedience. And see, it's the small foxes that destroy the vine. Oh, I mean, Pastor, are you really going to trip because we just... Yeah, I'm really going to trip, because the problem is the little problems that you had that you didn't use God, you definitely ain't trained enough then to give the big problems to them. You see? So it's an issue. And I'm going to tell you why it's an issue, and it's an issue for the Unity Worship Center, because you keep trying to work things out yourself, thus you don't have God anywhere operating in your life at all, and you're failing in the things of God. But Satan, what he has done is he has told you that this stuff in church really don't work for me. But you still come. You know why you still come? Because you know that's a lie. There is no magic button. I'm not going to be able to say a special phrase or do a certain something, and then all of a sudden you do what you're supposed to do by the word of God. It is a practice. You have got to practice doing the right things. You have got to practice being obedient. And so the problem, the reason why your disobedience by not acknowledging God in everything that you do, the reason that that is a problem for unity is because since you don't feel like God is doing what you think he should do for you, and since you don't feel that God is coming through for you, though you're not being obedient, but you don't feel that he's being true to you, he's not loving you like he's loving everybody else. So guess what? You decide that he's not as important to you on the things that you should be doing when it comes to him. So we can't get you to volunteer for anything because your relationship with the Lord just really ain't like that. You don't not volunteer because everything else that's in your life is more important. You ain't stupid enough to believe that. You know why you don't volunteer? You know why you don't tithe? You know why you don't give the way that you're supposed to do? Because your relationship with God is messed up. That's why. Somebody write that down. About five of us need to write that down. The reason I don't do what I'm supposed to do is because my relationship with God is jacked up. And the problem with that is, guess what? He's perfect. So we can actually marginalize that or slight and just say, the reason that I don't do what I'm supposed to do is because I'm jacked up. Now, here's what you believe. I hear you, Holy Ghost. God, I've been waiting for in-person Bible study. Here's what you believe. You believe pastor just likes to sit down there and take shots. No, what you need to know is pastor is tired of you losing. And I'm going to tell you why. And is, yeah, I love you and all that, and I don't want you to lose, but you're making me look bad. You keep running around here doing the same old things that you've been doing since the first time that you showed up in Unity, and ain't nothing changed about your walk. People wonder, why do you keep going there and you're still the same? He probably don't know what he's talking about. He's probably not talking about anything of any substance or of any power, you know, because if it was all that, if God was really running through him, if God was really operating through him, if God was operating through Unity, maybe you'd be different. Y'all got to get this together. You're making us look bad. I don't want to diss you. I love you. Love God. I was supposed to text you, Kevin, and tell you we need you to paint that wall over where they fixed the drywall. Sorry. Appreciate it, Kev. We got the paint back here, and you know where it is. Just get a receipt. So some of y'all happy for that little banter right there because it was getting hot. Ain't gonna keep on here talking all crazy about me and what I ain't doing. I'm not talking crazy, but honey, you're living it. You're telling everybody where your walk is with the Lord just by how you operate. So proud of you. So proud of you. I text Janine today and I said, you coming to Bible study? I put everybody on Front Street. I was texting people, just wanted to feel bad if they didn't. If you didn't get a text, it's because I knew you was going to be here. I texted Janine, and you know what Janine said? I'm supposed to be going to look for a house, but I'll do it tomorrow. It's called growth. It's called growth. Made me do this. I couldn't do nothing but hit the heart button. I was just like, oh. Yeah. See, because you don't understand. If you stand up here, Sonia, you will attest to this. If you stand up here and you teach this stuff day in and day out, and you still see people operate crazy, it's enough to break you down. It's enough to make you want to come to me and say some stuff like, maybe I'm not the one that should be teaching. Maybe it's something with me. And I'm over in the mirror going, I'm telling them, it ain't you. No, you're great. You're dope. You know, and I'm in the mirror like, maybe I ain't the one that should be teaching. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's because I'm crying the same song. You see. And so from now on, when we speak of assurance, watch your papers, God's assurance, it means confidence in God's ability. And real quickly, I want to go to scripture. So just in case someone that doesn't know what we're, that we aren't. So that just in case there's someone in here that doesn't know that we're not supposed to put confidence in our own flesh, I want them to see what the Bible says, because the Bible is what we as born again believers go by. I want to say that again. The Bible is what us born again believers go by. Write that down. Why is that important? Because you go by too much of your own thinking. I hear it on Facebook. I read it on Facebook. I read posts from members of this church that tells me they do what they gonna do, and we don't check in with God about it. Confidence in your own abilities. Gabe, the next one of God's assurance. The second definition of God's assurance. Assurance. I gave you two definitions up there. And the second one is confidence that is ours now is confidence in God's abilities. That's what assurance means. God's assurance for us is confidence in God's abilities. But what I wanted you to write down was, the Bible is what us born again believers go by. Nobody care how you feel. The Bible is what us born again believers go by. That's massive. Who knew that God's people go by God's word? So when we break that thing down with scripture and we're going back and forth, I don't really know if I believe that. I don't really know how I feel about that. And then you hear it in the book, you got to guess what you got to do. Shut up. And you got to do it. You just got to do it. Oh, well, this is what I go by. Let me bring it down a little deeper. Everybody here's kind of... If your spouse don't eat pork, and you just met them and they don't eat pork, but you do... Because he don't eat pork no more. Guess what? Everybody in the house don't get no pork. You're cooking twice. You understand what I'm saying to you? You see, because we don't, I'm not going to do what you don't do. Yeah, Lord. see, if I'm a believer, I'm only going to do what he does. Isn't it funny that we can give more of our commitment to people than to God? If you give too much of your attention more or your commitment to people more than God, write that down. Say, I do that. All right. And so I want to go through the scriptures. So if you don't know, you will know, because this is what we go by. And knowing what the Bible says about things, then operating in a manner that is in alignment with the word of God and on a consistent basis is so important for your spiritual growth. Knowing what the Bible says about things and then operating in a manner that is in alignment with the word of God and on a consistent basis is so important to your spiritual growth. You will never grow knowing but not doing. Show me a person that is in church 24/7 and still exhibits character traits and behavioral patterns that are in alignment with the world and its ways, and I'll show you a person that though they might be in church every Sunday, they are not in the Lord. Being in the Lord means that you are in the word. You're a consistent doer of the word. You have a pattern, and you have and keep a pattern of good works. You are one not just in doctrine but also in deed. Knowing and keeping the word on a consistent basis is critical for your spiritual growth. Now, let me ask you a question, and I want you to tell me the truth. When I said you being at one with doctrine and deed, how many of you know what that means? How many of you know what I'm saying? In other words, it's not enough for you to know the word. You have to be at one with the word. You have to be at one with his deeds. You see, you have to be, see, because the words produce, those words produce deeds. Those words, he gives commands. You're supposed to do what he commands. Those are deeds. And so you can't just be one with him in doctrine. You have to be one with him in deed. In other words, you just can't know. You got to do. From now on, if I say a phrase that you do not understand, raise your hand. I don't care about you being nervous, and I just don't like to ask. No. Well, so you're just going to walk out not knowing? How many of y'all read a book, don't know a word, say you can pronounce it, and you just keep on reading it? Since you can pronounce it, yeah, I don't really necessarily have to know what it means. You pronounce it and just keep on going. How many of y'all do that? Do you know how much you miss? You know how much you can miss like that? That's why you got to stop and Google. Oh, then take what you just read, take that meaning and go, so, oh. Anybody ever do that? It enlightens you so powerfully. You can't wait to continue on because now you knew what that word changed the whole game. So this is Bible study. This ain't church. You can do this and I'm going to give you my best. I'm going to give you what the word give me. Yes, ma'am. I have no idea what number three was. Tell me what it say. All right. Now, let's go to Philippians 3 and 3 so I can prove a point. Philippians 3 and 3. It says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in what? Okay. So what just happened is I'm using scripture to back up my point. Sometimes you'll catch me using scripture to support scripture, okay? Now, so that I make sure that, because I know this can be a little out there, a little rough for some of us. So I wanted to break this down into its most common denominator. And so, because I'm not concerned with being deep in front of you, I'm concerned with you leaving here knowing what we was talking about. So Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3, and the Amplified says it like this. Now get this, because this is deep, and it's in your notes. You can, for we who are born again have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for his purpose, and are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory and take pride and exult in Christ Jesus and place no confidence in what we have or who we are in the flesh. So here's this word again. For we are born again believers. Yeah. Born again. For us, that's born again believers. So there's a few things that I want to point out from that verse. Notice it starts out saying, who are born again. And have been born, have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for his purpose. I want you to read that real slow with me, and then I got a question for you, okay? So here it goes. Who are born again, have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for his purpose. Now my question, is that you? Maybe you need to write that question down. You know, well, I think I wrote it down for you. Am I a born again, have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and am I set apart for his purpose? Be honest. See, because here's the thing. Up until I got saved, I was only set apart. You know, I was set apart, but not set apart to his righteousness. Until I got saved, I was set apart to hell. I was set apart to evil. I was set apart to drug dealing. I was set apart to gang affiliation. I was set apart to all of these different things. You understand what I'm saying to you? But I was not set apart to righteousness. Now, what you got to ask yourself is, and here's what's powerful, is what am I set apart to? You see what I'm saying to you? So, if Miriam had not been saved, then, you know, before she became ill, sick, what she would have been set apart to was being a hairdresser. That's what she did. She owned her own shop, and then she did her in three other places. So if she wouldn't have been saved, she'd just been set apart to being a hairdresser. So if you ain't saved and operating in a saved manner, you're just set apart to what you do. That's deep. See, you got to understand that. You know, but when you become saved, watch this. When you get saved, you automatically, instantly have a responsibility. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So get this. You know, have you been born again? And does your walk give witness to that? Have you been spiritually transformed and renewed? And does your life indicate that you are set apart for His holy purpose? See, there's more to this thing than just coming to church. And for those of you who are new to this walk, this is what you need. This is what you need. This is what you need. You need to be born again, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for His purpose. I don't know why. I don't know what gimmick, you know, churches down the street, cross town got. But here's what you got to do. See, here's what you need to be. You need to be born again, spiritually transformed, renewed. You cannot walk in the things of God not transformed. You see. Now, I think it's important to speak on some of the terminology in this verse that's used in the Amplified Bible of Philippians 3:3. Being born again is having a change or transformation of the soul and heart by the work of God's Spirit. Being born again is having a change or transformation of the soul and heart by the work of God's Spirit. Can I ask a question here today? Because this is, I love Bible study because I think that we grow from here. You know, you if you come to Bible study, church is so much more awesome, right? Are we born again in here? Are we born again? Are you born again? Because if you're not, see, then we need to start. We need to start this thing over. We need to get down. I don't care how long. I ain't asking how long you've been in church. I ain't asking what you saw. I'm asking, are you born again? See, because that's the most important title of it all. If you ain't born again, nothing else matters. If you ain't born again, you're just coming to church. If you're not born again, you're not going to get this. If you're not, you understand? Because you can't get to the rest of it until you first get born again. You see. And so we have to be born again. And born again is having a change or transformation of the soul and heart by the work of God's Spirit. So let me ask you something. Your negative traits before you got saved, do you still got them? I know you got saved, but your negative traits, the things that you used to do that you know that you shouldn't do anymore, do you still do them now that you've been saved? Because if you do, then you've not been born again. If nothing has changed about your life when it comes to the things of sin, oh, let's just talk about that. Just sin alone. If you are still knee deep in sin as you was before you got saved, then you're not saved. And if that's where we find ourselves tonight, that's okay, because we got a pool. We got a pool. And hold on though, because the water ain't gonna change you. See, and this is what was messed up. This is what they taught people in church. They taught people that if you got baptized, you got saved. That's not the truth. Baptism was just letting the world know that you had chose who you was with. But baptism did not save you. So you hear people say it all the time, but it's real. They being funny, but it's for real. So you go in a dry devil, come up a wet devil, but you're still a devil. Ain't nothing. Didn't that happen? And so you try to figure out, now isn't this crazy? I'm going to tell you what used to get it for me. When I walked in church, when I got out of prison, and I walk in church, and I seen everybody else just on fire for God. I'm talking about they going crazy. I'm like, why can't I get it like that? Then I found out half of them was fronting. They was faking. I found out half of that wasn't true, what I was seeing. But then the second part, though, what I began to realize was I was not in. I was not as serious about this thing as I was when I was in prison. See, I'm out now. You know, there's stuff I can do now. There's things that's got my attention now. And so I'm sitting here trying to figure out why, you know, I know them. They're for real. That's the real deal right there. That's serious. You can tell that's the thing. What is the difference? And someone told me, because you ain't in. You just in church, but you ain't in. And that was life-changing for me. It was life-changing. Hold on, what do you mean you're not sold out to this? How much you read your Bible, Stephen? You know, how many hours a day do you spend in prayer, Stephen? What's your devotion about? Where do you get your devotions from? What do you do your devotion with every day before you get started on your day? Then, baby, how do you expect to have this? How do you expect to have this? Why? So everybody running around with the victory. Everybody's crying out. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and you can't get none. And so are they faking? Are they, or is it God don't want you? It's neither. Most times, a lot of times, it's just you're not where you're supposed to be. It's amazing. We can get in a new relationship and know everything about that person that we with. But we've been in church for over 5 years and don't. Somebody come up and start speaking scripture, most of us wouldn't know if that was right or wrong. I just said, well, I'm going to leave that alone. You ain't going to leave that alone because they're wrong. You're going to leave that alone because you don't know. Shoot, we love to prove a point. So get this. It's interesting that the Amplified uses this word. How much time I get? Okay. It's interesting that the Amplified uses this word above, right? For we who are born again have been reborn from above. In other words, what we've went through is spiritual. So right there, we realize that this wording implies that being born again is not done in the natural, but above. By who? By God. And I want to give you some scriptures to back that up. First John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been what? Born of him. How's that word? 1 John 3:9. Born of who? Makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of who? Let's have some honesty. How many is it in here that it's still easy to sin? Tell the truth, Sam. It's still easy to sin. If I want to do it, I'm going to do it. I ain't thinking nobody's going to raise their hand, but you know if it's you, then you're seedless. You're seedless. And you know how? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know how I know? It's because I can see the works. I see the works. Seedless. How do you grow without a seed? Oh, Lord. Ray, how do you do that? How do you grow without a seed? You see. Now, you're born of somebody, but as the scriptures are telling us, it's clearly not God. See, and we walk around, and here's the thing. This is. I don't want anybody. I want you to understand. I'm trying to save your life right here because He said, my people perish because of what they don't know. So we walk around, you know, and we think we cool because we got this whole ideology about the Word of God and about God Himself. We've got, you know, because He's a good God, and I know. And we got to say all of this stuff, but the reality is, man, we're reading some verses right now that's saying that is saying you are either with Him or you not. And we walk around because we don't know. It ain't that you mean to be this way or we mean to be this way. You understand what I'm saying to you? We don't know. Hold on. You mean to tell me that because I can sin, you mean to tell me, and I really don't feel bad about it, seedless. It means you're not born of him. Fix my mic. Somebody help me. I'm excited. And I think I'm going to bust something. You understand what I'm saying to you? So now all of a sudden, I'm grown. I do what I want to do. Means really, you're not of God. Oh, Lord. So if you've ever used that terminology before, I'm grown. I'm doing. Ain't nobody going to be telling me. Okay, that's fine. But I'm not going to tell you. The Word just told you that you grown, but you ain't of God. You grown and not of God. You see? And this is a problem. Because you could be playing yourself thinking because you put a few dollars in church and you come every now and again that you're going to heaven, but you are going to hell, seedless. Lord, have mercy. Well, which was the last one we read? Which was the last one? Huh? 3:9. Okay, look at 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. You know, Kenneth, you remember this, we had this conversation, and Kevin and some of the men that was in church, and you guys said, you know, a pastor started talking about that I love you stuff, man, and it kind of like, you know, I wasn't used to men telling each other we loved each other, you know what I'm saying? And I have to check Tyrone about, what was that, about 2 months ago? I said, love you, man. He said, all right, pastor. And I said, hey, son, I love you. And he's like, I love you too, pastor. I mean, it was like bad vegetables. Like, it just didn't like it. He just didn't want to say it, you know. But see, here's the thing. And so people think that I'm playing when I say I love you. And so if you know, I had a pastor, I had an overseer tell me, watch out when you tell people you love them. Not me. I won't watch out for that. That's a command. And guess what? What if they need to know it? What if they need to know I love them? What if I'm the only one that said, I love you, man? That day, that month, that year. And it's easy to love those that you don't know because God is never going to ask you to do something that he's not going to put in you. When I say, I don't care who it is, I love you, man. We've been out praying for you. We don't know. And I'm like, I love you, brother. And that guy's like, I love you too, man. And he don't even know why he's saying it. And he's not questioning if I love him. He felt that. He know. I love him. Why? I don't know you, but I love you. Because I don't got to know you to love you. Because I'm commanded to love you. And God is never going to command us to do something that he don't give us what we need to do it. Yeah, I love you. Too many Christians out here with no love can hate a person in a heartbeat. I mean, can hate somebody. Can be sitting in the same room. Can be in church hating them. I can't stand them. Make me sick. Don't you know that's a sickness? How you claiming something and you ain't even... First John 5:4. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Lord have mercy. 1 John 5:18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who has born of God, he who has been born of God protects him. And the evil one does not touch him. You ever feel like the enemy got too much access to you? Ever feel like the enemy just got way too much access? Just seems like he can get at you in a heartbeat. It ain't supposed to be that easy. It ain't supposed to be that easy. The enemy is not supposed to be able to just get at you when he wants to. And let me just go ahead and bless you tonight and let you know. Most of us aren't dealing with the enemy anyway. There's degrees to this. There's levels to this. If you got a hard time fasting, baby, the devil's not bothering you. You've got those lower inklings, the jinns, the imps, the spirits. It takes a consecrated lifestyle for Satan to come after you. Come over here, man. You keep up. He said, you separate yourself in church, you'll be separated in life. Come over here. Let's see. Yeah. You see. So why is it so easy for the evil one to touch us? And we're going to start talking about more than sin in church, because there is more in the Bible to talk about than just sin. You know why I talk about sin so much in the church? Because we got sin in the church. You know what's amazing? You sit and you tell your kid, you say, how many times I got to tell you to stop? And God's going, how many times I got to tell you to stop? You ever thought about that? You just bad. God will be like, you just bad. You don't want to do what I tell you to do. God, you don't want to do what I tell you to do. You're going to learn, keep on messing with me. God's like, you're going to learn, keep on messing with me. Isn't it amazing, though? We can cold clock on our kids, can't we? God in heaven like, what? Are you serious right now? Lord, have mercy. I got one of them kids that'll remind me too. Wait a minute. You ever want to ground your kid because they right? So get this. Here's what's going to hit you. And so you can see with all of those scriptures, there are some profound promises, but they are only promises that pertain to the born-again believer. There's protection in there. There's provision in there. There were so many different promises in those scriptures, but they're only promises that pertain to the born-again believer. And if you are truly trying to be holy and abstain from the powers of hell, if you are truly trying to be holy and abstain from the powers of hell, if you are indeed then born again, born of God, then these verses should bring hope, confidence, and courage. And I want to tell you something, but if you're not, then it gives you something to strive for. You should want everything that God has for you because it's perfect. Another word I want to talk to you real quick about is spiritual transformation. Spiritual transformation is thus understood as a radical organization of one's identity, meaning, and purpose in life. Spiritual transformation is thus understood as a radical reorganization of one's identity, meaning, and purpose in life. Remember when we saw the transformation take place in the Apostle Paul's life on the Damascus Road? Paul had an experience with Jesus that brought about spiritual transformation. Just as our own experiences with Jesus should bring about spiritual transformation, and that transformation should be evident. It should be evident. It should be evident in your speech, the way in which you operate, and most of all, your thinking should reflect spiritual transformation in a godly sense. Your thinking, most of all, should reflect spiritual transformation in a godly sense. And the reason I say, get this, y'all, because this is important. And the reason that I say godly sense is because there could just as well be a demonic spiritual transformation as well. Y'all feel me? There could be a demonic spiritual transformation as well. And we have to be careful that our fruit is fruit of righteousness and not fruit of unrighteousness. There is fruit from hell. You see? And then if you're going to believe in the kingdom of God, then you got to believe in the kingdom of darkness. And if you're going to believe in righteousness, then you got to believe that there is unrighteousness. You see? The definition for transformation is, and I have two. The first one is a marked change, as in appearance or character, usually for the better. A marked change, as in appearance or character, usually for the better. Now get this. And the second one is a complete change in the appearance or character of something, someone, especially so that the thing or person is improved. Now, the first definition said a marked change. Now, get this. The word marked means clearly noticeable, evident. The word marked means clearly noticeable, evident. You see. Somebody come up and say, you a marked man. That means that there is something on that person that as soon as it's seen, that person is seen, it's on. You see? So get this. So when I take the definition of the word marked and I combine it with the second definition, I get spiritual transformation means this. Spiritual transformation means a clear and complete change in the character of the new believer, which is improved and evident that they have taken on the mind of Christ. Do I need to read that again? A clear and complete change in the character of the new believer, which is improved and evident that they have taken on the mind of Christ. See, let me tell you what happens. What God's been doing with me is that, you know, like, you know how you read these Bible, they put their little notes under the Bible and what they think and all this stuff like that. And that's not necessarily wicked or evil or anything, you know, but I would just always fall back on that stuff. And in the last couple of months, God was like, I gave you a brain too. See, watch this. And just because that's a definition don't mean that's a definition for your house. So search me and see what I have for you. Because when I'm with these definitions that I'm giving you, you might not find them in the dictionary because how I've put them together. You understand what I'm saying to you? But they wasn't meant for the dictionary. They was meant for the house of unity. You see. Philippians 3 and 3, the Amplified. We're almost done, I promise. How much time I got? Yeah, we're almost done. The Amplified. For we who are born again have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for his purposes, and are the true circumcision who worship in the spirit of God and glory and take pride and exalt in Christ Jesus and place no confidence in the flesh, in what we have or who we are in the flesh. The word renewed, it means to make or become new, fresh or strong again. To make or become new, fresh or strong again. To make or to become new, fresh or strong again. This is what becoming a new creature in Christ does. After Satan in the world has and your flesh has played you, has dogged you, has disrespected you and tried to do away with you, Jesus steps in and refreshes you and he makes you strong again. Lord have mercy. And when the world has stolen from you, stampeded over you, and you find yourself helpless, Jesus makes you strong again. Lord have mercy. And guess what? He didn't do all of that for you to turn around and go back into the world. No, he saves you because he loves you, and then he's got a better plan for you. Remember when he said, I believe it was Jeremiah 29 and 11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. The plans are for your good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God has always had a plan for you. In fact, God has a plan for every area of your life. He had a plan for your marriage. He had a plan. He has a plan for your kids. He has a plan for your family, for your career, for your finances, for your home, for your entire life. God has a plan. And one of the worst things in the world that could ever happen is you die and his plan not have been activated in your life. We never got to see the greatest you because you thought for you instead of allowing the word to think for you. See. He told us in Proverbs, God told us in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, New Living Translation, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, you know why? You know why he said that? Because you trusted too many people with your stuff and with your heart. He said, trust in the Lord. Guess what? He didn't say nobody else, not your mama, not your daddy, not your friend, not your boo, your baby, your husband. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend. Watch this. Do not depend on your understanding. We're not as smart as we think we are. You're down here living natural in a spiritual war. You cannot rely on your own understanding. This thing ain't about us. This thing is not about, you know why we have a hard time in this whole Christianity thing? It's too much about us. We make it too much about, we testify and we talk about what we did instead of what God did. And then I laid hands on them. We don't say, and then the power of God was raging through me and pushing me and propelling me to lay hands on. We don't say that like that. I laid hands on them. This thing ain't about us. This thing is so very little about us. You know, I mean, we're just pieces. And you got to drop your pride and embrace pieces. You understand what I'm saying to you? You got to drop and embrace pieces. And then it says in verse number 6, seek his will in all you do. And what happened? He'll show you the path to take. He'll show you the path to take. Says some hard things to you from day one. Amen. Some stuff that new members would have walked, wasn't even a member yet, and I'm saying this stuff. Says some hard stuff. I'm just waiting to be cussed out.
Oh, yeah, they'll cuss you out.
I'm waiting to be cussed out. And she buckled down and was just like, for him I live, for him I die. I could see you raising. If she thought she could have taken me, she would have tried to take me. Wasn't going to miss a court date. But, Pastor, what should I? Pastor, what should I? Pastor, and ain't stupid. Cole can get up here and teach on any Sunday. On any Sunday. But I'm seeking God's will for my life. And guess what happened? He said, I'm going to show you which path to take. You see? And then we got a whole new thing. We got a whole nother thing. And God did an accelerated thing. You see? I'll tell you what path to take. Ain't that awesome? I can make my decision off the strength of the word, and no matter what happens, I'm right. Do you know that? You can make your decision off the strength of the word. It don't make no difference who don't like you. You're right. As long as it was in alignment with the word, you're right. And when them people walk away from you because of the decision that you made that was off the word, let them go. They're not supposed to be here now anyway. Trust in the Lord, not in what you want. Not in what your flesh is pushing you toward. You trust in the Lord. Let me say this. Trusting in anything and anyone other than God when you know he's all you're supposed to be trusting is rebellious and stupid. Let me show you what I mean. Here's a fire. There's a fire right here, right? And it's raging. And ain't nothing of worth in that fire. There is nothing that I'm going to cry about in that fire. And all I really got to do is walk around that fire. You understand what I'm saying to you? But if I go in the fire, it's going to injure me. But I do it anyway. That's stupid. Right? Will you? You know, we're watching This Is Us. And he went back in and he got the dog. He got the dog, but the smoke killed him. And I'm going, you stupid. You could have bought another dog. Now you're dead. To have the word, to live by it, know that you are supposed to live by the word. Let me say that again. To have the word, to live by, to know that you are supposed to live by the word, you know to live by it, blesses you, keeps you, safeguards you, next levels you, and not just you, those you are connected to, but instead to do what seems fun makes you childish, rebellious, and stupid. And willfully stupid is dangerous. Willfully stupid is why we have HIV and AIDS running around. After all these warnings, after all of these years of commercials and condoms and all, and we still, that AIDS rate is still right on up, right? It ain't hardly went down at all. You understand? Now, believe it or not, I'm ready to do the Bible study. I just need 4 minutes. We out. The Bible study stems, this Bible study, God's assurances, stems from my morning devotional, and it hit me hard. You remember we saw this, this was in our devotional, men, and it said, it hit me with such a power that I knew this is how we was going to start back with these in-person studies. And what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks is we're going to talk about people in the Bible that had assurance, and they operated in his assurance and not in doubt. And so I want to ask you a question that my devotional asked me. Are you a confident believer, or are you a believer who, for the most part, lives in a place of uncertainty and doubt? Yeah, okay. But if you deal with fear, but the reality is, as believers, we should be walking around here with all the confidence in the world, because after all, God is in his heaven, Christ has risen, and you and I, we are recipients of this grace. We should be walking around with all the confidence in the world. Why? Because God is in his heaven, Christ has risen, and you and I are recipients of his grace. Now, but if you deal with fear, if every storm rattles you, if someone is always having to remind you of who you are and who you're supposed to be and whose you're supposed to be, then it's a pretty good chance that you're not resting in the assurances of God. Let's go to John 16:33, and we're out. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Peep this. This is powerful. This is the end, and it's powerful. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he has just hit them with some heavy prophecy. He lets them know that he's about to leave, and when he leaves, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, is going to come, and he lets them know that they're going to go through some things.
And even though they will go through it for a while, their sorrows will eventually turn to joy. Okay? He lets them know that they will be scattered away, scattered abroad from him. But he won't be alone because the Father will be with him. You understand what I'm saying to you? But and then he hits them with a truth that and that because it's from Jesus, they know it's real. And the truth is found in verse 33. And I don't know about anybody else in here, but if I'm one of the disciples at this time and Jesus says to us, now the world, this world, you're going to have some tribulation with the world. Yeah, see, I might be tripping right there because when I looked up tribulation, the word tribulation is defined as a cause of great trouble or suffering, distress or suffering resulting from oppression and persecution. See, Jesus is saying with this, he's saying this. This is what he's telling them. This is what he's telling us. Get this. He says, with this world, you're gonna go through it sometime. And especially because you believe in me. They are going to persecute you. And they're gonna hate on you. The oppression and the persecution and it's gonna be unreal and daily trouble is gonna be your trip. But then he says something that should give us peace because we are in him. He says, and this blew my mind, he says, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Whoa, hold on. He said, they're gonna come at you. There's gonna be some things, Lord have mercy. What he was telling his disciples then, and what he wants you to know now is that trouble and mayhem and madness and things are gonna straight up break your heart sometimes. They're going to happen, but don't trip. Don't worry, because I've already defeated that. I've already overcome that. And so now do the math. If we are in him and he has overcome the world, now this is what got me. This is what got me pumped. Y'all ready? The word overcome means to succeed in dealing with a problem or difficulty. Lord have mercy. It means to succeed in dealing with a problem or difficulty. So what Jesus was saying, what Jesus was telling the disciples then, and what he wants you to know now is that trouble, mayhem, madness, and these things that are going to have you up at night. You ever went through those things that just had you up at night? Lord have mercy. You ever just been so troubled you can't sleep? You cook, but you can't eat. You ain't ate in days, but this thing is on your mind. And you, oh, Lord, have mercy. And all you want to do is just get somewhere and cry. You just want to get, because there's nothing. There's no peace. No matter where you turn, you can't find peace. And it's just madness and craziness. And Jesus steps on the scene of your life and says, don't trip. I defeated that. Don't you worry about that. Cancer, I already dealt with that. People in Isaiah, I dealt with that. You understand what I'm saying to you? Kids acting like they ain't got no home training. People in Proverbs in 22, I dealt with that. Don't you worry about that. You understand what I'm saying? Finances, don't trip. I got something for that in Proverbs. I dealt with it. It means that I dealt with it. I succeeding with dealing with a difficulty or an issue. And in the natural, we cannot succeed over the hell that Satan brings our way. But in him, that's why he said, abide. If you just abide in me. If you just abide in me, and I'll abide in you, and abide, and abide when it's crazy, I'm gonna abide. When I'm having a good time, I'm gonna abide. When I'm losing my mind, I'm gonna be in him. And despite how it's coming against me, I can be of good cheer. Woof. You know what it means when you begin to break that trans? When you begin to translate, be in good cheer, be of good cheer. It means don't trip, chill. It's almost over soon. I got you. This ain't going to take you out. You understand what I'm saying? So you could be going through some of the greatest hells of your life. And he's like, be of good cheer. I've dealt with that. So I just did. I dare you the next time that you're going through hell and high water, just to holler, Calvary. Calvary. You understand? I don't know if we're going to be able to keep you, Calvary. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know if we're going to be able to get all of it out. And it might come back and it might kill you, Calvary. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to let your kids stay in this school because, you know, Calvary. Ain't no more moving. God ain't moving no more. He moved on Calvary. That was the last move God makes. Now it is up to us to get into position to move into him. Ain't no more moving. I just need God to move. Well, you're going to be needing. You better get in. You better get in. Lord, have mercy. You see, this is the thing. And the Lord's having me deal with this because the Holy Ghost is talking to me right now. And we're done. All through this Bible study, the Holy Ghost said, people think you're talking about them. Here's what I want you to get. If you thinking like that, if that hits you, you know what? What we talk about Sunday, what we say Sunday, it's got you. There's a stronghold. He talking about me. It's a stronghold. And he, you know what? I ain't coming back. Because I feel like, I know. Let me look at here. Let me look at everybody here. Let's see here. Yeah, I ain't talking to none of y'all. Not enough. Not enough to know anything about what you're going through, what you're doing, what you ain't doing. No. If I ain't talked to you, you know I ain't talked to a whole lot of people then, because we talk. So, you understand what I'm saying to you? So the things that I'm talking about when I say, look here, if you ain't doing this right, but you think you are, just because you think you are, because your granny didn't like it, because your mama doesn't like it, because I don't care about none of that, you will go to hell wrong. And here's the thing, you know, I told Miriam one time, I said, you know what? I said, I'm trying to go 2-0. I'm trying to go 2-0. And right now it looks like I'm going to be 0-2. You know what that means, Benny? I was like, I'm trying to go. I'm in hell now. I'm going to go to hell. That's 0-2. I'm trying to get to 2-0. I'm trying to have heaven here. Lord, have mercy. Wasn't that the prayer? What does that prayer say? What does it say? As in heaven as it is on. So everybody trying to make it, everybody's so busy trying to make it to heaven, but he's trying to get us to pull heaven here. Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I ain't got time for I ain't going 0-2. Because guess what? If you don't get a win here, you don't get a win. I'm saying this in closing. You don't got to be depressed. You don't got to be broke. You don't got to be broken. You don't got to be alone. You ain't got to be hurting. You ain't got to be disqualified. You understand what I'm saying to you? You ain't got to be useless. You ain't got to be not cared about, not thought about, not loved. You don't have to be any of that. You just need to be in him. That's it. You want to give me something for Christmas? Get in him. I swear, I love y'all so much. Get in him. I don't need get in him. Let me go to glory. Knowing that you got it. You can't tell if, yes you can. The word tells you. I just want to see you get in. I don't want to be your friend no more. I don't be in. I want to see you get in. You ain't got to like me. You ain't got to speak to me. Just hear my word. Get out. Just leave. I ain't going to say nothing to you. I'm good. I ain't going to say nothing to you. I'm hungry. I got to go anyway. Just get in. Amen. Just get in him. For the next three Wednesdays, God willing, and the creek don't rise, we're going to deal with this assurance. Some insurance won't cover you because of, you know, they, you know, I had to tell them, I said, you know, baby, you can't, when you try and get life insurance for me, you can't tell her everything. I tried to get life insurance when my first wife was living, Kim, and she said, it don't make no sense. And I'm like, what? She's like, they looked you up, and I can't even bury you. I got to pay for it out of my pocket to bury you. And I'm like, what were we talking about that for anyway? What, you guys on your mind? See, the point I'm making is there's some insurance companies that won't cover you because of what you've done, what you've been acquainted with, what you've been into. But see, we serve a God that don't make no, never mind what you've done, what you was a part of, what you was acquainted with. You don't need insurance when it comes to him. He gives you assurance. You see? And as I get older, I'm beginning to understand how much more important that assurance is. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's get you out of here.